Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, we are going to talk about deal structuring on listed properties. So properties that have been listed on the MLS. And because we get questions all the time of how do we work with realtors when it comes to creative financing, right, Jeff?
That's correct.
So today we're going to dive in. Jeff just put a deal under contract. It's a fiveplex in Idaho, and it is listed. And so tell us about that.
So the first thing that I want to cover is that it's not my ideal situation to go after listed properties and try to structure terms. I'm not saying it's not possible. It is. However, keep this in mind. We're always trying to get in light. When I say light, our down payment is on the lower end.
Right.
And when you're dealing with a listed property, there's already at least a 3% commission involved.
Yes.
So that's
in.
And every realtor I've ever dealt with wants to get paid up front. They don't want to wait until 3 years, 5 years, whatever, to get their commission.
And if they don't get paid, then it becomes a huge issue and can possibly be reported to the board.
Well, exactly. So when I say that we can work with realtors, we can. However, it's not my ideal situation. I'd much rather work directly with the seller. And so this one is a deal that we put under contract just yesterday through a realtor, and it is with terms, and I'll tell you exactly how we found it, what we did, how we dealt with it, and you know, what's going to happen with it.
Okay. And before you dive into that, I just want to say, I want to talk to all the realtors out there that's listening to this podcast. You know, as a fiduciary responsibility to your own clients, you should always present them with some kind of creative financing strategy for selling their home, because they might make more. And if they're able to make more money and that's what matters to them most, then you have a fiduciary responsibility and moral obligation to present your clients with the best possible offers out there.
Well, I think one of the issues with that is that a lot of realtors just don't understand creative finance. And
very true.
Nothing against realtors, but it's just not taught in realtor school.
Not at all. And it is definitely more advanced strategy when it comes to investing. So I get it.
And one of the things I think that goes through a realtor's mind right off the bat is, how am I getting paid?
Yep.
So if they don't feel like they're going to get paid right up front, they don't even want, you know, their mind turns off.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive into this. Maybe we can answer some of those questions of how we dealt with it. So
great.
One of my apprentices brought this property. So what we teach is that you want to make connections with realtors. It's not like, don't spend like all your time doing this. This is like, you know, 5%. But if you find a good investor type realtor, one, they can bring you leads on an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, that they have something that may fit with what you're trying to do right now.
Right.
With saying that, most realtors are not really great at working with investors. That they're working more the retail side. That they're not quite, they don't quite understand what it is that we're looking for. And I say that, and I mean no offense, but I see properties every single day that are listed that realtors keep bringing to us that don't fit anywhere near what we're trying to do. And it's just, they don't get it. So we're looking for the property or the realtor in this case. Okay. So in this case, we were looking for the property and it happened to be listed. So it's a fiveplex in Idaho Falls, one of the hottest markets in the country right now. I know, shocking, but it is. And the property is free and clear. It's an interesting property. It's not that big, but it's 9 bedrooms, 5 baths. So most 2 beds, 1 bath units. Built in 1920, 0.16 of an acre. The taxes run $2,800 a year. It was actually all remodeled in 2012. So as far as I know at this point, that it's in good shape. I don't know if it's in great shape or what, but based on our conversations, it's in good shape. They're all rented, but they're under rented.
So there's value add there.
Yeah, so let's talk about what they're rented for right now. So all 5 are rented, $450, $325, $525, $545, $480, for a total of $2,325. And one of them, the $325, gets a discount for handling like the lawn care and landscaping.
Trash,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. So this property was listed for $265. And so what our apprentice did was they contacted the realtor as they would contact the seller and said, hey, I'm an investor. I'm looking at buying a property. We buy properties one of two ways, cash or terms. We'd potentially be interested in this property. Do you have some time to give me some information? And ultimately they asked, would your seller be open to taking payments for their equity? And the realtor said, I think my seller would look at anything. Perfect. Went through, gathered all the information like we would normally gather, and we put together an LOI and we sent it to them. So why don't we go through the LOI and go through the different options and why, just like all the deal structuring that we always do. And then I'll tell you which one they have chosen and what our goal will be to deal with this property.
And then we can talk about how the realtor gets paid.
Yes. Well, okay. And that part's simple.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I made an offer, which is very common for us, is that slightly above what they were asking. So $270, $18,000 down, 2.5% simple interest, and a $1,300 a month payment. So what I identified, if we can back up for a second, is I want to know, remember, we like to work backwards on any kind of income property. So what I wanted to do is, so we know the rent's $2,325, although I believe that they could be $2,500 to $2,700 a month. And so we take what we know of expenses. So we know the taxes are $2,800 a year. Management would probably be about $2,900, I think, for the year, something like that. Maintenance and repairs were about $3,300 for the year. Utilities, which are very little, like $1,000 a year. And then they had like an advertising expense. So it's right around $7,750, $8,000 a year in expenses. And if you have $2,325, that's about $28,000.
Okay.
Okay. And if you minus like 8, we have $20,000 to work with. And if we divide that by 12, we have $1,666 a month in cash flow to work with, right?
Okay.
So I'm always looking at, do we want to buy it and, you know, own it for the cash flow, whether we're going to rent it, whether we're going to sell it on terms, whatever, or am I going to wholesale it to someone else, in which case I've got to leave enough money on the table for them. Mm-hmm. So this is as is, right? We took the 23-25. This isn't what potentially you could get. This is right now.
Yeah.
So if I offer the seller $1,300 a month, what does that leave? That leaves $366 a month cash flow as is for a new buyer. Mm-hmm. That's after management, repairs, maintenance, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So, not like a huge, I mean, it's a fiveplex, but it is a lower end. I mean, we're talking $270,000 purchase price. So, almost, you know, $366 a month times 12 is now almost $4,400. And let's say that we want to figure out a good cash-on-cash return. So if we're thinking 4,400 and we divide it by, let's just say, $35,000. So someone's got to come to the table with $35,000. First of all, is $35,000 down payment a pretty good down payment on a property for $270,000 for an investor?
That's a good down payment, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right? Because normally they'd have to come with 20% mm-hmm. minimum.
Exactly.
And so they're getting away with, what, less than 15, so maybe 13%, something like that. So at that particular down payment, they're still making a return on investment of 12.5%, which is, if you've followed our podcast, we always like to be above 12, right?
Right.
It's on the low end, but it's above that 12. However, what if we can raise those rents? Now, and let's just be conservative, $200 a month. So that becomes, instead of 366, it becomes 566. Now, 566 times 12 is almost 6,800 divided by 35,000.
ROI of
almost 20.
20%. Yeah. 19.4%.
Not bad, right?
Yeah.
And owner financing, no loan, and
no bank qual.
Yeah. So this is how I kind of came to where I want my numbers to be.
Let's see you do that in the stock market.
Yeah, right. So now you'll understand. So I picked a payment. So on this first option where we're doing simple interest, and we've talked about this so many times, I get to pick my payment only on this type of offer. So I'm basically offering an interest rate, and once I cover that interest for the year, then all the rest of the money is going toward principal. So think about this for a second. Well, this isn't exact, but so if we're offering $270,000 and we're offering $18,000 down, let's call a note for $250,000, okay? Round number.
Okay.
$250,000. And we just times it by 0.025. That would be 2.5% interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's $6,250. That's for the year interest. Okay, if we're paying $1,300 times 12, we're paying $15,600
total
payments.
Uh-huh. We minus that $6,000,
whatever,
$250.
Yeah, $6,000.
And the rest goes towards principal pay down.
So almost a little over $9,300 each year is going towards principal pay down. That's, if I picked a lower number, yes, I'd get better cash flow, but my principal pay down is not going to be the same. If I picked a higher number, my cash flow is not going to be as good, but I'm going to have even higher principal pay down. Make sense?
Right.
This is the only offer I know of where I can just pick the number out of the blue, unless it was like a principal only payment. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so.
So don't try this at home,
kids. Well, at least know what you're doing before you try to put this offer together. So I picked 1300 because it made sense both ways, right? I'm getting a good principal pay down and I'm getting a good cash flow. So I picked 36 months because that's just standard for us. We just did an episode with Dustin and he got a 10-year term. I wish I had a 10-year term on this. I don't. It's 36 months. I just find that I get shorter term deals accepted a whole lot more than longer term.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to pay all the expenses, taxes, insurance, everything like that. And ultimately, the seller, so this property's free and clear. So the seller's going to net, okay? This is in seller's pocket after all said and done. If you take the $1,300 a month and you times it by the amount of months that they're going to be receiving payments, 36, and then you add the balloon payment. So in this case, the balloon payment in 3 years is 223. That's probably 252. That's almost a $30,000 pay down, correct?
Yeah, in 3 years.
In 3 years. You add that, plus you add whatever you paid the seller in down payment. That's what they're going to net if they owe nothing on the property.
Right, total.
So they'll get $287,858 for this property over the course of 3 years. They're asking $265,000.
Right, right. And that's why I say, like, if realtors don't understand creative financing, they can't present something like this to their seller if they don't understand it themselves. So, I mean, I think it would benefit every realtor out there to start learning and understanding creative financing.
It would certainly help. Just like it for any investor, it gives you more tools in your toolbox that you can work with. Mm-hmm. And yep,
same with a realtor.
Exactly. And it doesn't work for every person, every seller. If this seller needed all his cash right now, this doesn't work.
Yeah, true.
So that's option number one, okay? Option number two. Well, and this is, shouldn't have written that. So $265,000, which is what they were asking, $25,000 down, so much higher down. I shouldn't say much, but we're now almost at 10%, mm-hmm. 4%. So I want everyone to understand this. So if you take $265,000 and you minus $25,000, you have a note of $240,000. Mm-hmm. That's your present value. Okay, I'm offering 4%, and normally it would be 30 years, right? Mm-hmm. 30 years would put the payment at 1145. So I thought, that's probably too low of a payment. So I can do a couple of different things here. I could raise my interest rate, or I can shorten my term. So I just decided this is a considered commercial property because it's 5 units. I thought, all right, I'm just going to shorten the term. So we're going to do 25 years. So 300 months. And now our payment is $1,266, which is pretty close to the $1,300 that we offered in option one. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to extend the term. So I offered 3 years for option one. Now I'm going to offer 6 years. Now it could have been five. It could have been seven. There wasn't a magic number. I want the seller to make more money in option two, because if they took option two, it's always more advantageous to have a longer term.
Right.
Okay. So I took, for 6 years, their balloon payment is going to be $202,084. And the seller's going to net $318,000 over 6 years. So they're going to get about another $20,000-$21,000 for staying in it 3 more years. Maybe not, but at least it's significant enough to consider They're getting a little higher down. Mm-hmm. They're getting a little better interest rate. There's a reason. There's a few reasons why they should consider staying in it longer. If I don't give them any reasons, there's no reason to make both offers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Yeah, you got to differentiate those offers somehow.
Right. All right, so let's go through one more offer, and then we'll cut it off, I think, and then we'll...
yeah, we'll wrap it up, and then we'll...
do a second...
Yeah, we'll continue it on the next episode.
So offer number three. So do you see how both of these would still work with a realtor? There was enough down payment.
Yeah.
Plus, so what is the seller got to pay the realtor? 3%.
3%.
We're talking about 260, 270, somewhere in that range. So 8,000 maybe. Mm-hmm. So the first one was 18,000. There's enough, maybe not enough, but at least enough to pay the realtor, pay some closing costs, and still have money left over. The second one even better. So that's what we're trying to do, is make sure that there's enough money, seller's still getting some, able to pay the realtor.
Right. And with that said, you should keep in mind too that, you know, that down payment that you're giving to seller, the commission is coming out of that down payment going to the seller. And of course, whatever you can make above and beyond that, if you're wholesaling it, is your fee.
Right. Third option would be like a seller subordination. And so basically what I offered was $265,000, what they were asking, $60,000 down. And the whole reason that I did this is that in case that's the issue, the down payment. So $18,000, $25,000, now it jumps up to $60,000.
Okay.
And
this is seller carryback subordination.
Yeah. So the way that I looked at this is if I had to go borrow $60,000 on a property that's worth $270,000, I think that might be difficult.
In first position.
Yeah, in first position. Mm-mm. I'm figuring worst case scenario, if I have to borrow this at 8%, I think that's a super good return on investment for someone. I times that by 0.08, and then I divide by 12. That gives me my monthly interest payment on that money, which would be $400 a month. I already know I don't want to really exceed $1,300 a month payment. I want to keep
that cash flow.
That's right.
Right around $500 with the minor value.
So the balance of the note, $205,000, I just did, again, a simple interest, 2.5%. And I use this when I need to. So we have a $205,000 note. What if we just offered 4% over 30 years? The payment's $978. We're in that vicinity. We're not too far off. I could probably just offer 3% and it would leave us right in the same position.
Okay.
But with the simple interest, I can maneuver, you know, and plus I want some principal pay down. Remember, there's no, when we're doing the subordination, nothing's getting paid down on that first mortgage. That's interest only. So we want some principal pay down on the second, and we don't want to drag it out so long that it won't be very appealing to the seller. So I did 48 months. We end up getting a balloon payment of $181, making a payment of $900 a month. So staying right at that $1,300. So at least we're getting a 10% basically pay down.
Uh-huh.
And remember, there's no money in this other than if we're wholesaling it and our fee.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted this property for yourself, this is how you get in, no money down, and don't have to worry about anything else. No credit check, no loan, no
anything. Yeah, no bank qualifying. Awesome.
Do you have questions? The other two options we'll cover, and then we'll go with which one that they got or Do we have time, or do you want to keep going?
We can do one more.
Okay.
I'm gonna dive into one more offer. Looks like you sent him how many offers?
I gave him five offers on this,
wow,
which is very unusual. But it's a realtor, and I thought, why not?
Okay.
So the fourth offer would be a short-term finance offer. So we came in at $238,000, $25,000 down, 4.5% amortized over 25 years. That would be a payment of $1,183.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to still stay in that vicinity of that $1,300 for 14 months. And the reason that I put 14 months is that my goal was is get someone in this, allow them. I know that they had signed two new leases that are a year long. So that you're not changing those rents for 2 years.
Yeah.
Or for 12 months.
Right.
The other three you can do in the next several months as they come up. You can raise them, get rid of them, whatever you need to do. But the goal is, with any commercial property, is get the rents raised because you get a higher net operating income and the value goes up. And the way I look at it is that, hey, if you can do that and then refinance after 12 months, that you'll be able to refinance at a higher value, be able to pull more money out of the property, so you'll have less money in it.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
So we came in on the lower end, but it's a shorter term. So our goal here is that, all right, if you're willing to look at like the cash offer, this might be something where you're not in it very long. You're still getting a significant down payment, and you can be in it and out of it in 14 months.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, the reason you picked the 14 months is because that would be when the lease is up, and then you can get a tenant.
Normally I'd pick like 12,
mm-hmm,
but I know that they just signed a couple of leases, so I want whoever to have the opportunity to get the rents as high as they can get them.
Yeah.
Plus, commercial may or may not have some seasoning issues, so they may want to see that you've owned it for 12 months before they'll go off of the value rather than the purchase price that you bought it for.
That's an interesting question. I wonder what that is.
Well, at some point, we should probably have a mortgage broker on where we could ask the different questions about seasoning, and because it varies. It varies. You will get a different answer from
every single one.
Yeah, it's amazing. And some mortgage brokers work with lenders. I'll give you a perfect example. I just bought a property like 2 weeks ago. I bought it. And I'm selling it to someone that's getting a conventional loan 2 weeks later. There are plenty of lenders out there that will not do that loan because it has not been seasoned enough. They don't like that I just bought it and I'm selling it immediately.
Right.
And I know FHA has their own rule, 90 days.
Yes.
But I would tell you, even conventional lenders don't like it.
Yeah, who's this guy's lender?
They may want you to do 6 months.
Yeah.
We went through a credit union. They have no problem with it. And we will close next Friday. So it will be less than 30 days from the time that I bought it and went on title to the point where I'm selling it to someone that's getting a conventional loan.
Yeah,
they vary all over.
Yeah, I want to come back to that deal in another episode.
So that, we might as well just cover the cash one too.
Okay.
So the cash was $228,220. No magic number there. Just thought that if we got it for that low and we wholesaled it, that someone would make probably 1% plus rent on their, you know, based on their purchase price, the 1% rule.
Okay.
And that would probably still be a good
deal for
someone.
So you can move it fast to an investor.
Correct.
Looking for a buy and hold.
That's right. So five offers, all made to the realtor.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll tell you one of my, well, why don't we cut it off here?
Yeah, and I was going to say, let's wrap it up, because then we'll follow up with that conversation and what offer they picked and then where it went from there. So thanks so much, guys, for listening. We greatly appreciate your ear. Please pass this podcast on. We're on Facebook at the Creative Financing Podcast. You can look us up there on Facebook. Go and like our page. Leave us a comment. All of our episodes are on our website, www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. And then also, we have a hotline that you guys can call in, and we've been getting more calls now, that you guys can call in, leave your comments or ask questions there. Jeff has an apprenticeship program. He's looking for commercial property nationwide. And if you work in the markets he works in, then it could be residential property as well. But if you want to get a hold of us and you're interested in that, we've had a few callers in the last week call in now and was interested in your creative financing, your apprenticeship, because they heard about you through the podcast. So 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. When you leave a voicemail there, it goes to my email and Jeff's email simultaneously. So
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So can I make a shameless bribe?
Yeah.
So we've gotten such great feedback from people where they've called in, but what we really need is for people to rate us and review us and follow us. So if you are willing to go do that and then send us an email, do we have like somewhere where they can send us a message that they've gone and done that?
You can post it on You can post it on our Facebook
page. So have gone and done that, and show me that you have.
Yes, just screenshot it when you rate and review it. Just screenshot it using your phone, and then just send us. Hit us up on Facebook, the Creative Financing Podcast.
Send me your email, and I will send you a special gift.
Yeah, DM us.
Okay.
Love it. Okay, guys, until next time, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.